Well, good morning. Take your Bibles and turn with me to Colossians chapter 4. Colossians chapter 4. I have one more of these dear men that Paul is writing about to cover these commendations, and today more of an exhortation. One more of these men I want to cover today. And we've been looking at these different ones that Paul is mentioning in the closing of his letter to the Colossian Christians. I hope these have been helpful to you. I hope that as the days and weeks and years go by, when you hear the name Tychicus, Epaphras, Aristarchus, those names, that they will stir in you gratefulness to God and things you learned from them. We learn from other Christians, don't we? We learn from other Christians. We certainly do. You and I should be. We learn from Christians today around us. I mean, like right now, today. Those that we have close to us, those that we listen to and follow. And we learn from Christians who've walked with Jesus Christ in the years and centuries before us. We just learn from them. That's what we should do. Their lives impact us today. Let me pick it up in chapter 4 of Colossians at verse 15, but our focus will be verse 17. Paul says in verse 15, "Salute the brethren which are in Laodicea and Nymphis and the church which is in his house. And when this epistle is read among you, cause that it be read also in the church of the Laodiceans, and that ye likewise read the epistle from Laodicea." In verse 17, here it is. "And say to Archippus, take heed to the ministry which thou hast received in the Lord, that thou fulfill it." Amen. Let me pray. Father, unto thee is all glory. Not unto us, but unto thy name be the glory. Lord, thank you again for the word of God and these passages that we're reading and learning from. Let it come to our hearts today. Teach us, Holy Spirit. Stir our hearts, our thinking, to learn and to be taught of God and to be moved along, prompted in our day, in our generation. Glory unto the Lamb of God, our Savior. Amen. There are some statements that we use in everyday life, you'll hear them, that are very familiar to us. Keep going. You'll hear this. Stay with it. And sometimes we'll even hear this. Finish strong. Finish. Finish strong. Do you ever hear one of these or something like it? You probably do. Do you ever say something like this? My dad coached us when I was a little league and pony league baseball player, and he would say things like that. I would be pitching and I'd get rattled a little bit and I'd look over at him. Just keep going. That's what he was saying, just with some hand movements. Finish strong. You all, when I say those statements, we all know what those statements are getting at. What's the emphasis that's coming out of a statement like that? Well, in a similar way, this is the Apostle Paul's closing admonition to Archippus. That's what he's getting at with Archippus. He's telling the saints in Colossae to say these things or encourage Archippus in his ministry. Stay with it. Keep going, is essentially what he's saying. And we're going to look at that. We're going to try to glean by the grace of God in from his word, see some key things today in verse 17. But before we do that, let me say to all of us here, every Christian in this room or across the world, we need these kinds of exhortations and admonitions, don't we? Keep going, sister. Keep going, brother. Finish. Fulfill all that God's called you to. We need these admonitions, every one of us. Just yesterday, the elders spent a wonderful extended time with Brother Rami. And we're winding down the days, God willing, that he and Rachel and the family will be with us. Their move is coming up right at the end of this month. So we were redeeming the time with Brother Rami, And we were thinking about, talking about what's ahead for the gospel ministry back in Jordan. We were looking with him, looking out, thinking about, giving encouragements, exhortations to him. We were encouraging Brother Rami to fulfill the ministry that God has called him to. That was really a theme. And as we sat there, I couldn't help but start flashing back. Of course, I had this text on my heart. And here we are with Brother Rami. We're sitting around the table, and I'm thinking about the Apostle Paul writing that letter, getting to the very end of the letter, and he's admonishing this man, Archippus, to fulfill his ministry. That means all of it. All that God's called him to, be about it. Be faithful in it. That's the admonition. And dear saints, this is not only for pastors and missionaries, evangelists, it applies to every Christian. This kind of an exhortation in every Christian's life applies. So dear saints, let it come to you with fresh help today. Wherever God has put you, whatever Christian labors that you're about, whoever that you interface with, speak the word to, train, teach, whatever that you're about, you're to fulfill your ministry, your purpose in the Lord Jesus Christ. You are his vessel. You and I are his for the great master's kingdom. This is the charge that Paul is giving this dear man, Archippus. Fulfill thy ministry. I told Mac on the phone yesterday, this message today, in a sense, is 21 days early for Brother Rami's last Sunday with us. Brother, to you and to all of us here, fulfill your ministry. That's what Paul's getting at. And it applies to all of us. Who is Archippus? Anybody want to stand forth and give me extended thoughts on this man, Archippus? If you do, you're going to be creating them from things you've read, because we don't know much about him. Who is this man, Archippus? Well, he was a man of Christ Jesus. We know that. But let me just give you a few comments, and then I want us to focus in on the theme or the thrust of Paul's admonition. He's only mentioned twice. Each one of these men I get to, we get less text about him, right? He's only mentioned here, verse 17, and he's mentioned in Philemon, verse 2, just a few pages further down into the New Testament. And in that text, it says, "And Archippus, our fellow soldier." These are the only two things we know about this man. However, when you step back, read some writings, historical views of that time period, and Paul and the gospel laborers with him, there are some other things that we can perhaps glean and apply here as we come into this thought about who Archippus is. Was he a member of the family of Philemon? There's people who think he was, that he was a member of Philemon's household. Maybe. We don't know that. Did he grow up at the table with Philemon? We don't know, but there's many that think that's the case. He was probably a younger man like Timothy. So where was he in his life? He was probably a younger laborer in the kingdom. 30s. Who knows? But that's what perhaps marked where he was in his life. Here's the big question as we come to verse 6. Was Paul correcting or rebuking Archippus, or was he encouraging him? That's fascinating. You pick 5 or 10 different writers and you read what they have to say on that. The majority of them agree that Paul is encouraging this man in his gospel ministry. This is not a rebuke. This is not a correction. This is Paul telling the Colossian Christians, encourage this man that labors for you. It's actually quite a wonderful thing to see that Paul's reminding the church. Another thing that would make us realize or make us think that Paul is certainly speaking in a favorable light about Archippus is that Paul bestows upon him in Philemon's letter, in that letter that we read, he bestows this title, fellow soldier. You don't just call somebody that's a dud a fellow soldier, somebody that's failing a fellow soldier. That's an honorary title that he gave him. He's a laborer in the kingdom. He's a soldier of the cross. And so it shows us that Archippus had a significant gospel ministry that he was responsible in. He was a soldier of Christ, and in this one verse we're going to look at today, he was obviously being commanded, charged, to be about fulfilling that ministry. So therefore, As I mentioned a few opening things, we can conclude that Archippus was probably a pastoring elder in the Colossian church. If that's the most common opinion, that this young man is there pastoring, where is Epaphras, who started the church? He's with Paul. So Epaphras is going to be coming back, but Archippus is probably their shepherd, or one of several. But he's certainly mentioned here, and it's commonly thought that he was a pastoring elder over that flock, which gives us some personal connection now to where we're going, thinking about a local flock with a man laboring there. But think about it. With Epaphras with Paul, Archippus was probably laboring alone. We don't know that for certain, but he was laboring there for the Colossian church, and they were dealing with all kinds of conflict or difficult teachings, worldly traditions of men, right? And things that were coming. We've talked about this over the last couple of years as we've gone through this book. So Archippus is on the front line. He's shepherding. And so Paul is giving a closing admonition to this young pastor and this servant of the Lord Jesus Christ. Not many men would probably go to a commencement of seminary students and use this text, but it would be very good text to use. Very good text. So Paul's giving a heartfelt message to Archippus with commanding force. This is not a small charge. This is lofty. It's as big as it gets. Our president, when they put their hand on the Bible and take their oath, that's not as big as what Paul is dealing with here. And I'm not disrespecting the office of the presidency. I understand it's significant, but it's not as big as what Paul's getting to here. And you'll understand as we go further into this. So what is this exhortation, this charge that Paul gives Archippus? He gives any Christian that's ministering in the gospel, pastors and others. What is Paul giving him? Raise money. No. Build buildings. No. Promote Christianity with cool programs. No. That's not what the charge is here. Let's let the Bible speak to us about the gospel laborers and what they're to be about. Paul mentions three key things in his address or his command, his charge to this young pastor, Archippus. What is his gospel ministry to be based upon, rooted in? Three things. First, it's serious business. There is a seriousness of his ministry. Go back to the text and say to Archippus, take heed to the ministry. Take heed to the ministry. Now, we've thought about this phrase. That's the King James translation, and other translations leave that same statement. I believe the NASB keeps that same phrase. Take heed. We've talked about this statement and the emphasis that's being given here. We talked about it. I did. Mentioned it when Brother Allen was put into the office of an elder out of the Acts 20, 28 verse. To take heed. That's what Paul is saying to this young man. Take heed to the ministry. That's the first thing he says. It means pay very careful attention to. Pay careful attention to, or see to it that you are completely given to this responsibility. That's the statement here. Give yourself wholly to it. The first time I ever taught anything in my adult life to others in the gospel was eighth grade Sunday school students. But it was serious. It wasn't a small thing. When I reflect back, that's a long time ago. That's well over 30 years ago. Speaking to eighth graders on the things of Jesus Christ. Paul says, pay careful attention, be very serious and committed and grounded and given to the ministry. It's the first thing he's emphasizing here. You're going to pay very, very careful attention to every aspect of it, every component of what you're to be about. Obviously, the implication is you keep giving your energy, your focus, your heart. But there's a faithfulness being charged here to be faithful in. Beloved, gospel ministry of any kind is serious business. We're talking the most serious of business. And I don't mean business in the sense of lucrative. I'm not talking about finance and economy and trading. I'm talking about giving your life to something. The gospel labor for any of us at any level, whether it be eighth grade students or anything that you're about, is serious. It's the most serious thing in all of humanity. Always has been, always will be. The message, the man, the proclamation of the gospel of Jesus Christ. That's serious business. When Paul says, take heed to the ministry, this is lofty. This is giving your life for the glory of Christ. Every pastor, every deacon, every missionary, every teacher, every responsibility in the church of Jesus Christ is serious. Always will be. It's serious. It's the call of ministry to whatever level you're in, whatever you're giving yourself to, wherever God has placed you. Why? Why is it so serious? Why is it so big? Because all that goes into gospel labor is concerned with the glory of God and the eternal souls of men being rescued. That's why it's serious. Everything about it is serious. Therefore, it ought to be not heavy in a sense of weighted down, dead, scary, but big, serious business. You go to the emergency room. You go to the surgeon's quarter in the hospitals. You go to the place where life and death is hinging. It's serious business there. We have two daughters that are nurses. We hear stories at times about things that get real serious. It's not a small thing. This is big. This is lofty. Archippus was about the kingdom of Jesus Christ. Take heed. Be serious-minded. Give yourself to with energy, with passion. Oh, beloved, the world gets absolutely fired up about things all the time. And we look at it and go, what in the world is going on? The world gets fired up about money. The world gets intense about politics, sports, technology, pop culture stars, environmental issues, weight loss programs, gun shows, and antique car programs. I mean, I'm talking, they get passionate. You could go on and on. They pour their life into it. They pour their energy into it. They buy the magazines. They travel. They see. They take it in. They cheer it. They're consumed with it. Yesterday, in fourth and fifth grade basketball, boys playing with me having two grandsons, one of the women there acted as though we were at the end of the war or something. I'm serious. People around there were just looking like, am I seeing what I'm seeing? The world gets fired up and serious about all these things, and then they wonder. They look at people that are in Christ Jesus, Christians, and they wonder, why are they so serious about the Lord Jesus Christ? It's a rhetorical question. Well, ultimately, because he's the most serious, glorious thing there is to be focused on. I mean, if he is who he is and what he declared himself to be, then he is the most serious thing in all of humanity. Forget every nation. Forget every advancement, every space program. Jesus Christ is the main thing. The glory of God is the main thing. Archippus had to be built up in this. You have to be built up in this. It's amazing to me that people would listen to Paul Washer and be stunned that somebody would be that serious about Christianity. Or in the 70s, when I first heard Keith Green singing, people go, that guy is serious about Jesus Christ. Yes, he was, and Ravenhill, and many thousands of others. I ask, whose or what is the truly serious matter in our day? Is it the stock market's volatility? Is it the border protection? These are ongoing situations. I understand that. I'm just simply comparing, what do men need most? Oh, let's go further. This gets right where we are. We're talking about this charge to Archippus, this charge to us, this charge to us that are laboring here, you that are here, all of us in our lives. Would visitors here today, I don't want to make anybody as a visitor uncomfortable, but I'm going to ask this. Would visitors here today think that this thing of following the Lord Jesus Christ is a serious matter? Does this meeting, does this gathering imply that following Jesus Christ is serious, or let me put it in another word, the most glorious thing to be after? Would they feel that way today? Would they feel that? My dad may eventually get to actually be with us. I hope he does. He's wanted to come for a long time. Would my dad walk away and go, I think the most serious thing in that meeting is devotion and proclamation of Jesus Christ. Devotion to and proclamation of Him. Oh, beloved, He is. Following Him, serving Him, being faithful to Him is the biggest thing in all of humanity. We need to get rebooted in our thinking, right? That's the main thing. He is our joyful focal point. He is the preeminent one. Taking of the Lord's table is about worship and communion with Jesus Christ. So it is serious. Archippus was to pay careful attention to the earnestness and faithfulness of his ministry. Why would sports fans have something more to be excited about than what we have to be excited about? That's convicting. And there's pastors all over our land, so-called pastors, speaking at that level. They're lowering, supposedly, the gospel just to make people happy. Come on now. We're talking about the Son of God. Jeff, speaking of Jesus feeding thousands from a little scrawny lunch, a few loaves and fish. As Piper said years ago, people should hear the gospel preached and it should come to them as heavy, lofty, overwhelming. It should. Archippus was called to that. Paul and Luke and these different ones, Peter and Spurgeon and the different men through the ages, Calvin and on and on and on and on and on. It is the most earnest thing to be giving ourselves to. It is that serious. Yes, beloved, charge number one here is to take heed to the ministry. Every pastor and every Christian, brothers, sisters, all of us, wherever you are, we need to stay focused on the seriousness or the heartbeat of our ministry, who we are, whose we are, and whose we're about. That's the first sign. Second, the calling of his ministry. First is the seriousness of it, the glory, the weightiness of it. The second is the calling of his ministry. Second part of the verse, which thou hast received in the Lord. Which thou hast received in the Lord. Yes, Archippus was called into the ministry. He received something. You following this? So first of all, the ministry is the lofty reality of what he's to be about, but he was called into it. Every Christian in this room was called into Jesus Christ. You didn't cut a deal with him. You didn't just decide Christianity was worth trying. The Holy Spirit made Christ real to you, and you believed on the Lord Jesus Christ. And he's the one to follow forever. And this man, Archippus, was called. He had received. You receive Christ. You receive this call of the ministry. That's what you're to be about. There's seminary students that would say, I'm not really sure what I'm called to. Well, then we may need to call a complete timeout and decide, what in the world are you doing? Because this isn't like enrolling for be a teacher one day in English or to get an engineering degree or to go into IT. We're talking about the call of God on his life. Man, that's what makes this serious. This makes it glorious. Archippus was to be anchored in this reality, be remembering it. Rami, when you go forth, always remember that. Us that are here, you deacons, all of us, any task, you sisters caring for children, doing the things you do, teaching the class, the men's study, whatever we're doing, it is a calling. It is our surrender unto Jesus Christ that we give ourselves, whatever gift you have. That's the big goal I've wanted to press upon you over all these different men. Your life is to be lived out as a servant of Christ. Let it flow unto him. Serve him to the fullness. Think of this. You can receive promotions from employers. Some of you have gotten a promotion in life. You can receive promotions from employers. That's nice. You can attain a political office if you get enough people to vote for you. People can vote you in, and you can say, wow, look at me. I'm in office now. You can get that from men. And you can get a military honor. And men do. They get wonderful, very moving military honors from high-ranking officers. But only the Lord Jesus Christ calls a person to minister for him. You can't get that from men. You can't cut a deal with men. Men don't give you that charge. Men don't give you that responsibility in the ultimate sense. You are set apart of Jesus Christ and you serve Him. He's the captain. He's the one in charge. He's the one you minister unto, right? You're under Him. You're surrendered to Him. We just get messed up in America and this thinking. One of the fundamental battles from an Arminian position is, who's in control of all this? I mean, it starts with God. In the beginning, God created. In the gospel, in the New Testament, in the gospel, Jesus came and saved. All that the Father brought unto Him, He received. He won't lose any. We have this drawing, divine work of the Almighty, the Spirit of God, drawing people in His kingdom and setting apart those who labor for His kingdom. Archippus did not create his own ministry. He was to be taking heed and being very focused on his ministry that he had received in the Lord. Boy, when you see people that try to force things, try to take a position or try to take on things that God hadn't called them to, it fails. Falls flat. Needs the power of God. And this man needed to be reminded that he was not his own. He served Christ. Oh, saints, keep this on your heart and mind. Keep in mind the authority and the divine call of Christ on your life. Whatever place He has you now, keep that in mind. For us as elders, for you men as deacons, for anybody, for Michael going forth and Rami going forth and different ones, be grounded in this truth. We've received it of the Lord. It's His. We're committed to Him. There is nothing more sublime, more useful, more needed today and throughout the world than this reality. People, men set apart of the gospel, going forth in faithful service to the King, Jesus Christ. A guy came into my office. This is a dear friend that I work around. Engineer, sharp, very articulate. Just wonderful. And I gave him a small Stephen Lawson book, hardback, on Dr. Lloyd-Jones. Right before he was leaving to go back to he didn't grow up in America. And I know he loves to read great things. But he's being introduced to some of these men. I said, I got to get Curvin this book. And I gave it to him. He sent me a note. Oh, I'm going to read this. I'm going to start reading it on the plane. It's the only one I'm going to take. I thought, wow. I didn't mean to be that dramatic. And for those, you know, those Steve Lawson summary books are just rich, wonderful. He came back glowing, wanting to talk about Dr. Martin Lloyd-Jones. Well, I was in my office the other day. Whoop, he comes zipping around. He stopped, looks at me. He comes in. He wanted to talk about Dr. Martin Lloyd-Jones. Ultimately, he wanted to talk about the Lord Jesus Christ. But he was so moved by Lloyd-Jones's life. And in our conversation on this thing of a divine calling, I said, Curvin, you remember, did you see that part from Steve Lawson? Did he note this? That when Mr. or Dr. Lloyd-Jones would be stopped by somebody later when he was in the ministry, and they would say, oh, Dr. Lloyd-Jones, you gave up such a great, prominent medical career. You were so gifted, and you just gave it all up to become a preacher. And Dr. Lloyd-Jones, Curvin knew where I was going. Dr. Lloyd-Jones would stop them and say, I didn't give up anything. I gained everything. What God has called me into is the most majestic, lofty, glorious thing in humanity. And Dr. Lloyd-Jones would stop people. That would shake people in America. Could that be the case? Yeah, that's the case. We ought to live that way. We ought to live to the fullness in our Savior that way. It is serious. It is glory. It is the most substantial, indescribable thing to live for. People are going to chase after all kinds of things today in the name of sports victory. Today, in our country. Not even going to mention what it is. And yet the gospel of Jesus Christ blazes with eternal power and majesty. Oh, saints, to be called, Dr. Lloyd-Jones knew that I'm under Christ. I'm in the Lord. I serve Him. Every gospel minister, every Christian is under Christ, in Him. It is Christ that they preach. It is Christ that they represent. It is Christ that they live for, and it's Christ that they love. They think about the Lord Jesus Christ in decisions. They think about the Lord Jesus Christ in their marriage relationship. They think about the Lord Jesus Christ and live for Him in parenting and being a grandparent. They think about the Lord Jesus Christ with their checkbook. They think about the Lord Jesus Christ in their health or whatever they're living for. Am I overstating it? Not even close, right? You can't overstate it. We're talking about Jesus saying the pearl of great price. You find that and you go sell everything else you have. It's all His. He's everything. I used to love Brother Charles's statement. Jesus Christ is not a means to the end. He is the end. He is everything. Yes, He is. So, second to this man Archippus, you have a heavenly calling. This is not a vocation. This is not a... You have a calling, right? Take heed to the ministry that you've received of the Lord or in the Lord. And third, the duty of His ministry. Jeff, will you let me use that word? I'm going to try to use it in a good way today. Don't let Piper know I used it. The duty of His ministry. There's a seriousness, there's a calling in this ministry, and there is a duty or a responsibility that every minister of the gospel and ultimately every Christian has, including Brother David, just loving and sharing with these little children. That's a responsibility. We all have this. He says, Paul says, at the end of his admonition or this command, this charge, fulfill it, that thou fulfill it. This ministry that you received in the Lord, fulfill it, complete it, run well. That's what he says to him. Execute your calling, perform it or be about it with faithful diligence. Fulfill it. You know, beloved, if you want to get real fancy and try to make that word something that's bigger than it is, you might chase some things. But you know what it means? It means fill up all your duties. Check them. Be about them. Be about the kingdom. Be about the glory of Jesus Christ in so many aspects of day-to-day living. In his case, pastoring, ministering, teaching, helping those Colossian Christians grow in grace. Fill it up. Be fruitful. Have full diligence. Or put it this way, don't leave any aspect of it unperformed. Now, I have to be honest. To get into this text and to come into it starting, a week or two, gearing up for it, it's very searching and humbling to think of this charge in light of my pitiful state at times. Honestly, I don't know, I'm being real candid here. So you can let the tape roll. But you read this and you look at yourself and you think, I read Trevor Johnson's letter. And I felt about this big. I thought, what in the world have I ever done, really, truly, of any magnitude for the Lord Jesus Christ? Well, I mean, it searches you. This ought to search us. It ought to hit us with force and challenge. He says, fill it up. That means everything that we're to be about, we're to be diligent in. Don't leave things unperformed or left behind, you know, that are you haven't done. And so it has this full measure to it. It's awesome when you consider it. Paul gave a similar exhortation to Timothy. Very similar. If you just turn a few pages over, go to 2 Timothy. I want you to look at this. 2 Timothy chapter 4 and verse 5. A same or similar exhortation that Paul gives this man that he loved, Timothy, this pastor. But watch thou in all things. Take heed. Be careful. Endure afflictions. And then look, do the work of an evangelist. In the last part, make full proof, or what the ESV says, fulfill your ministry. King James says, make full proof. Fill it up. Complete it. Be faithful in it. Fulfill it. Fulfill it. Be about the Master's call on your life and be fruitful and faithful in every aspect of that. Just magnificent, this statement that Paul is making to these two men. Fulfill your ministry. Complete it. Now, you may be like me. You may be thinking, what would it have been like for Archippus to fulfill the ministry? If we could get a glimpse into his life, We would have to we just have to speculate just because of the New Testament language and what shepherds and pastors, elders, what are they be about? So we can look into it and we can consider this. But I'd rather finish today with this application, and I'd like us to think about this same call on men that we would know or we've admired. How do they fulfill, or how have they fulfilled their ministry? And this is not about those men, it's about Christ in them and what they lived for. And in the case of men that will come to your mind, or women, those that are still active in the kingdom. So, let's think, what would it be to fulfill the ministry? Well, it would mean to labor for the salvation of men. That would be a part of Archippus' charge, if he's going to fulfill his ministry, to labor or to give yourself for the souls of men. Your energy, your message, your heart for the souls of men. Without a doubt, what comes to my mind most immediately, particularly this week, was reading Trevor Johnson's letter. Now, many of us, how many of you got pieces or all of that this week and got to read it? Okay. So, that's just not a ho-hum read, is it? If it means in fulfilling your ministry, if it means to be about the souls of men, Trevor Johnson pulled back the curtain and let us see his heart and his life and his reflections. And it was profound. Here's a man that has hazarded his life, who has put his whole life, his whole family, his whole calling out there for the souls of men. We don't know what Archippus might have done, what dangers, what sicknesses, what ailments, what difficulties would have faced. But in the case of this brother that we pray for today, who's in New Guinea, we pray for a man that has truly hazarded his life for the gospel. And the world, like they did with Jim Elliot and those men, the world would go, why are you wasting your life doing that? Not a waste at all. Not a waste at all. He was fulfilling and is fulfilling the ministry in Jesus Christ by giving himself to those people. Everybody get that? He was faithful. He's been faithful in it. He's being emptied out. It's as though God's renewing him for the next chapter. Who knows what God's going to do with him? But he realized, and he said it in his own email, Christ is worth it. Capital letters. He kept saying yes. Was it worth this? Was it worth this? Yes. Was it worth this? Yes. To labor for the salvation of men is to fulfill the ministry. All of us. Laboring, hoping, sowing the seed, talking to family, friends, co-workers, ministering the gospel, being faithful to put the truth before the ears and the hearts of men. That's what it means to fill up. It's one aspect of it, to fill up or fulfill the ministry. Here's another. What would be fulfilling the ministry for pastors, men that are over the flock? It means to preach the Word of God with power and purpose. To preach the Word of God with power and purpose. That's a part of fulfilling the ministry. Preach the Word. Proclaim it. Speak it forth. Preach the Word of God with power and purpose. 11 months ago, almost to the day, Mac and I, maybe I can't remember others in this room. Baker was there, but Brother Conrad Merle's frame, his old body that he had lived in, was being put to rest, put down in the earth to be raised again one day. We were there, and I'm thinking, I'm taking this in. Here we are in Louisiana, and here we have a small church, and it's full of Christians. And I'm talking from probably 90 down to children. And we're reflecting, and Max shared some, and Mark LeCur shared, and I'm thinking about Brother Conrad Merle preaching the Word of God with power and purpose for decades. Traveling, ministering, loving people, dealing with small groups, sitting at those table meetings in Bentley, going to Arizona and all these other places that were covered in Max's book, thinking city to city, churches. Sometimes they didn't want to hear much that he had to say, but almost without exception, the huge proportion are people that were impacted by his life, his preaching. Thousands of people over the years being impacted by Conrad Merle, of which I got in on those latter couple of decades. two or three decades, I got to hear him and see him. Beloved, fulfilling the ministry in the case of Brother Merle was just being about the gospel of Jesus Christ, week in and week out, month in and month out, being faithful in it. That's fulfilling ministry. One last one. Fulfilling the ministry would mean caring for the flock. In our case, caring for each other, helping each other. That's a part of fulfilling our call together in the body of Jesus Christ. But here, caring for the flock, Archippus would have had to care for the flock. He had to teach them, right? He was concerned with the souls of men. He's concerned with preaching and teaching, and he's concerned with their care, their protection, their health, spiritually speaking. Yes, their growth in grace. The man that came to my mind was Brother Bob Jennings. When we made it to Sedalia, Mac and Linda and I and Brother Don Curran, we drove up and we came into Sedalia about an hour and a half before the memorial service. And we were able to, it's almost so it wasn't fair, but they had a gathering for lunch. And they had this gathering of about 15 or 20 of the brethren from the Sedalia church. And they have lost, with joy, but with real loss, they have released Brother Bob to the kingdom of his dear Savior. And they're feeling it. And we come in to meet them for lunch. Nobody was looking at stock market returns. Nobody was looking at sports box scores. Nobody. But we came in and we're sitting there with them. And I just wanted to watch them and hear from them. Fulfilling the ministry. Oh, man. And Ray and Kelly were there, Hargraves. And I remember as different ones, I don't know if Mac prompted them, I don't know if they were just spontaneous, reflecting over Bob's life and his pastoral care and how he, and I'll never forget Kelly Hargrave saying with tears in her eyes, I'll miss those gentle one-to-one exhortations that he would give. She said, all the things I'll miss about Brother Bob, they're big, but she said, I'll just miss how he would say to us, he would speak a word to us. And he did it with such care. And I was sitting there thinking to myself, man, that's somebody that shepherds like or looking unto the great shepherd, Jesus Christ, over his flock. I mean, Jeff's teaching today, you talk about laying the groundwork for a theme like this. He's talking about the great shepherd caring for thousands and feeding them. Go back and listen to it if you didn't hear it. But that's the picture here. Oh, beloved, these are the things that fulfill the ministry. Wherever you go to hospitals or you go to the retirement homes or you go to places where there's people in need, you stop with somebody in a parking lot, leaving a store or something or a restaurant, and you just talk to somebody right there. You're laboring, you're giving yourself for the master. You're laboring for him. You're fulfilling that ministry in your life that he has for you. All of these things, beloved. So let me close. All of us, in any place that you're at, shepherds, as I've said, deacons, any of you, whatever you are, all of us are called into Christ Jesus, and we have our ministry, our place, our responsibility unto him. We're under him, and we are to live under him. And therefore, your charge, or the charge to you and I and every Christian, is fulfill what he's called you to. Be faithful in it. As I said at the beginning, stay with it. Keep going.